Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
years old. Get up. It feels more like summer. Jeez. Anyway, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome. As we get ready to lay out the buffet table and provide some good nourishment for thought via the chefs here at Blog Talk Radio and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to be in the house with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, all the good shit. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network as they are entering in. Radio Reggie from Richmond, Virginia. D. Orlando Ledbetter from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, courtesy of Norfolk State, proud HBCU grad. Pat Freeman, the mighty Obad, doing his Obad do up in Western New York. The Professor Fred Widdett from North Kakalaki, another proud HBCU alum, a proud Ram. And others that will be coming into the fray as we will kick around the sacred cows, try to make some ice cream, especially tonight because it's really muggy. But before we do anything else, we have to say hello to the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
More money. Did I say more money?
I'll take more money. Works for me.
The NBA got a new toy. That new toy is a playing game.
Okay.
Folks, if you know, I noticed,
wow.
Every home team has won the playing game.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Sounds like they borrowed some cliff notes from the NCAA.
More money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know about the more money thing. But before we get into the more money, let's go around the world in 80 seconds. Now, in D.C., recently, they tried to spoon feed us some more bullshit courtesy of Must Satisfy Negroes by Cable, otherwise known as MSNBC. They said that Jared Kushner went to Saudi Arabia on a fact-finding mission. Yeah, bullshit. He went over there, kissed up, sucked up, kissed ass, did what he did, and made some money. But the most heinous thing, and this is the theme of tonight's show, the most heinous thing is that underneath it all, he was there, or he was coming back on January 6th. He came back on January 6th, in my humble opinion, with information that stated that if Donald Trump's coup was to be successful, Saudi Arabia would be the first country on board to honor the new government. Now, these so-called news would tell you this shit if they had some balls. But the bottom line is they're lying out their ass. And that motherfucker went over there for the express purpose of understanding that. Now, I have with me, as part of our front and staff of chefs, Master Chef Eric Satterwhite, checking in. Good evening, brother.
Good evening. Good evening, Brother Mike and others. What's happening to the family?
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you know, I know we're going in another direction, but the presence of Kushner doing all this seems to slip by everybody's notice, which is kind of hard when you consider the question was never asked, why the fuck were you in Saudi Arabia in the first place?
Well, Michael, we know the answer. Look. This administration is from A to Z. They all need to be in jail.
Yeah.
We can go to a blue device
We know
and
that.
Nobody moved the fire.
Not only did they break them, they made money doing it. But all I'm saying is, if you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. Because what we have among the Fourth Estate are a bunch of motherfuckers that refuse to tell the whole story because they simply don't know how to tell it. Now, among us also is the editor-in-chief emeritus of the Black Athlete Sports Network, Mr. Tony McClain. What's up, T?
Good morning.
Indeed.
Good
morning.
Now,
Are you in Cape Town, South Africa?
No, just in case we got some people listening, I don't want them to feel left out.
I got you. The universal.
There you go. I have to start with this because it has been burning my butt ever since the news first hit the fan. Now, Dwayne Haskins, who was a former quarterback for the Washington Commanders and Pittsburgh Steelers, was getting a new lease on life. He came into the league, drafted 7th overall, so he had some money. You know, he had his bonus bucks, et cetera, et cetera. But he played poorly in his first opportunity to start with Washington, and Ron Rivera really wasn't much of a guy. Eventually, the job was won by one Taylor Heineke, who can legitimately play a little bit. And Haskins was released. He ended up in Pittsburgh and Coach Mike Tomlin. And Tomlin not only spoke man to coach, but brother to brother to him. And it sounded as if Haskins was getting the message. He's putting in the work. And everyone was fairly excited about the possibilities of what he could do with a little bit of the playbook in his back pocket. However, during a trip, and this is where it gets nebulous, in Florida, he's crossing a street and gets hit by a dump truck. And I don't mean to say this bitterly, but how the fuck is he out here by himself and he gets blasted by a dump truck? Now, the story is continuing to blow up, and they're saying that there was a young lady who was inebriated, who they eventually found, but no word as to how they connect with the young man. All right, young man's dead. It's a tragedy. Barely 25 years old, and you think, all right, this is another one. Sorry, somebody was gone too soon, et cetera, et cetera. But the news got a hold of this, and the news was capitalized and personified in the guise of one motherfucker named Adam Schefter. Now, this is where I started to get pissed, because what we always have known, and what I've personally known, because I know this motherfucker, is I was a member of the Pro Football Writers of America for 15 years. As a matter of fact, up to as far back as 3 years, I was contacted by the then president, Mr. Belzer, to put my dues in and rejoin. I ain't any part of you cheesy motherfuckers, because I knew you were bogus. And the reason I know you were bogus is because you had somebody like Adam Schefter on your staff. Now, he started out with the Denver Post, if my memory grants me correctness. But this guy's like 5'7", short, nerdy. In other words, he's a piece of shit. He's never played, to my knowledge, a down in serious football. And it brings the question, do you know your subject matter? My answer, hell no. This son of a bitch sensationalizes and pimps off these kids in a manner that gives credence to what Bill Roden has always talked about black players being million-dollar slaves. He ran with the news and said some salacious shit about Haskins. He couldn't just say that the man was gone, but he said some salacious stuff that pumped this whole mess up to the point where pro players were tweeting and contacting saying, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? You know, Lamar Jackson, who has no dog in the hunt, came out and said, Schefter is bogus as fuck. You know, how could somebody be in this business pimping off us like this? And other players had chimed in as well. So the whole point is, after some hastily made apologies, Schefter tried to clean up his shit. All it did was get worse. Gil Brandt, who was an executive with the Dallas Cowboys, also added some salacious shit to the pot in speaking of the death of Haskins.
Apparently not, Gary.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
He thought this was another opportunity to shit on brothers, and this is something that's been part of the Mouse's methodology that's been done for years. This was first done to a player named Chris Henry, who played with the Cincinnati Bengals, who was involved and had some relationship issues, died mysteriously falling off a moving vehicle, a truck. And nobody was ever charged with the crime. Nobody ever said that, you know, he was wrong for doing what he did. What they did do was cut him up in body parts, and he gave them to different people, and they tried to make a puff piece about it. Now, as noble as the idea of it may be, the concept behind what the Mouse did was downright malevolent. And that an NFL executive would have this mentality and say the stuff that he said about him makes it even worse. And the players, in their anger, and he eventually threw some bullshit apology together too, said, well, you know what? I have to kind of go along with this. And no, you don't have to go along with anything. You can say, this is wrong. You can say, shit must be done about this. You can say, this crap must stop, because the NFL press are toadies for the league. They push the agenda for the teams in the league, and they don't really do journalism as much as they do sucking up for the PR aspect of what makes the league go. Gentlemen, I need some feedback on this to make sure I am correct in what I'm saying.
Oh, I can quote you another one, maybe not to the day, but the late, great Sean Taylor. He was actually someone broke into his home,
yes, sir.
And he was killed. And I remember Matt Hatcher was another African-American, only in name only. Mr. Wilbond had basically said, in all him and a bunch of other folks, it basically said he was ripe to die. And it's very eerily similar to Haskins, in the sense of this was a guy that was getting his life together. You know, he'd had some scrapes, I guess, off the court, off the field.
Yes.
But was universally respected by his fellow players and his teammates. And see, that's the thing. And see, this is something I always try to somewhat educate folks on the outside looking in who drink the Kool-Aid. Think about, you know, with Haskins, with the little stuff that he had gotten involved in and what have you, there wasn't a chorus of current teammates who basically said, you know, this, you know, he wasn't shit, he shouldn't be shit, and all the other stuff. Always in instances like this, it's always media folks, and I always try to tell folks, again, lay folks that look on the outside, don't listen to the white noise, emphasis on white, in regards to something like this. Listen to the teammates. Listen to the outpouring. All you got to do
Thank
is look
you.
At the outpouring, the outpouring of, like you said, like a Lamar Jackson, who basically was probably going to be his rival this year because he probably would have been the starting quarterback for the Steelers. But it's this whole thing of, you know, you always have to, if you're going to really look, like you say, Mike, at the whole picture, look at who's the one saying it, and then look at who the people who are and what they're not saying. Because would you believe a person who has an axe to grind, so to speak, as opposed to somebody who's seen the guy do the work? And look, no one's trying to make him out to be Jesus Christ or Mother Teresa or what have
Thank you.
But
mm-hmm.
in that same vein, you know, what, you know, how cowardly do you have to be to go after somebody right after they died? And see, he doubled down on his cowardness, Schefter. He went to apologize to a teammate of his, and the teammate
yep.
said, "You need to be apologizing to me. You need to apologize to the Haskins family." But see, again, that would entail some common damn sense, and of course,
mm-hmm.
there's no that here and everything else. But it's this constant thing that keeps going. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. You know, if Bugs Bunny was packing, Elmer Fudd would be a dentist with a lisp. And it's the same sort of thing. And it's the same thing in regards to this. These guys, so many of them, literally want to use their thing in a bully as a bully pulpit. And when you realize here's the thing. I always say when you realize the climate, but see, unfortunately, this climate has been around for quite a while. It's just now people feel even more in themselves to do this. And that's what makes it sad, because here's the thing. When Roy Halladay was killed, we didn't, you know, no one said anything about his drug abuse that led to his death. Roy Halladay was basically a potato chip away from basically being John the Baptist for most
That's
folks.
That's right.
And here's mm-hmm. the thing. I'm not trying to make, I'm not saying Roy Halladay is a bad guy because, he did drugs. When you go to the extremes in one area and then, quote-unquote, want to take a step back in another area, no problem with that. And see, again, it's not a coincidence, because this has been consistently happening. Sean Taylor's been dead for over a decade. And there's still people that still feel like, that look at him as like, yeah, maybe he was, but he had some stuff. I say it on.
That's right. The butt. That's what burns me. I can't stand the premise of what we used to do with the draft before fancy football and all this other bullshit came into play. We go to New York to the draft before it really became the Liars Club in earnest, and you and myself, Patrick Farrar, and dozens of others, we would be there assessing talent of player A as opposed to player B. We had film, because tape don't lie. And because we had tape, we were able to better ascertain situations, and Patrick should be along and on, and make good on why we thought this guy could play at the next level. We also knew that certain players that were getting picked right away, that room for error, that X number of years to get it right. And usually it turns out to be a three-year project. The first year, you get the playbook right. Second year, you get comfortable on the offense. Third year, regardless of position, you should be ready to produce in whatever segment you have to be a part of. However, this means you have to know your subject matter. And too many times I've been in locker rooms where there are sons of bitches in there who know nothing about the fucking game. They've never strapped on. They've never so much of knowing the difference between a trap and a slant. But yet, because they think they're obligated to have these people speak to them, they would look at Haskins and say, get your $10 million nigga ass over here. I have questions. Instead of waiting and asking good questions, nothing makes me angrier than to sit through a whole game of three and a half hours where the home team loses by a field goal and have this same asshole pipe up and say, Cooper, how do you feel? You stupid motherfucker. What were you watching? You know, I'm so tired of incompetence. If I said shit like that, I would have no business being in that locker room, regardless of whom I was affiliated with. If you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you're better to shut the fuck up and let everybody know that you're looking for knowledge as opposed to showing how stupid you are by the kind of questions that you ask in the huddle or after in the locker room, because you had no business being there. It's something that white folks seem to enjoy because they love to hear themselves think. And this is white supremacy at its worst because they infect the process. Even the games people play, it totally works my last nerve. And here's one other little tidbit that I heard once from a former pro. Howie Long, somebody who I genuinely respect, told me during Super Bowl week once, as they were talking about the same subject to a lesser degree, he asked a question that everybody who's played should be asking. Who did you hit? If you didn't hit anybody, I don't give a fuck what level it was, you don't know. If you haven't been hit on whatever level it was, you don't know. And how he said, who did you hit? It was a generic, like, what the fuck are you talking about? If you can't answer that question, you have no business being there. I have the professor with me as well. Professor Fred Whitted out of North Kakalaki. Professor, good evening, and tell me something good.
Good evening. It's not storming here.
I hear you.
Right now. Again. I just chimed in, but sometimes I wonder where we find some of these, quote, reporters, quote, analysts, some of these supposed gurus who sit in, call themselves columnists and all those kind of things. Because there's more to it than winning and losing, first of all. And when it all shakes out, a lot of times you want to hear, okay, they got a half a page or whatever it is to fill up with their words, and you know, I couldn't read a lot of these columns years ago without even knowing who some of these clowns were.
Right.
And then you get on and see now that everybody's on television, everybody on television don't need to be in front of the camera.
No shit.
They most definitely shouldn't be behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, okay, where do you find this fool? Because, you know, I listen to a good half dozen games a week, most of them school, Pittsburgh Steeler games, but a few others.
Right.
And one thing I start, I've seen certain games, especially Super Bowls. I've seen all of the Super Bowl games. right. good half dozen times in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Because I break them down and I watch for one thing this week, something else next week, and
mm-hmm.
that's how I can say, you know, I see what I see.
Basically,
one of the things that these guys, you know, I know what's supposed to happen, and then you sort of wonder, okay, how is it that whoever the talking head might be, and it is really, okay, you got the first four Steelers Super Bowls, then you got the next two kind of spread out.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they talk about these guys like they're animals.
That's right.
I mean, they talk about these guys like they are just the most biggest morons in the world. Romaine Jovis, well, you know, he's been in the league 10 years. Yeah, but he's
Yep.
Is he really mean? And like, oh, shut the hell up, you know. I say, when he was acting a fool in the first couple of years, I don't remember them wondering if he was mean. And first of all, he grew up. Because remember the first couple of years, he didn't want to be there. And if you remember the record for the first couple of years, only the Roonies wanted to be there.
Right.
You know?
And we said so. Yes. We said so.
But then as you progress, though, you know, come on. And see, at the end of the day, you end up with situations like how long it took John Collins to get in the Hall of Fame, how long it took for other guys to get in the Hall of Fame. Then you sit back and you wonder, why is Polamalu going into the Hall of Fame before L.C. Greenwood going in? Go down the list of great guys. And, you know, I mean, you know, and even some white guys in smaller schools. I mean, they're trying, you know. One of the things that irked me really bad, the guy that does Monday Night Football for ESPN. He's a young man, mm-hmm. or he's an older brother now. But I was listening to him on one of the Monday Night or Thursday Night games, and I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. So this is why these fools are actually getting paid to keep certain people hot, because they can't justify,
exactly.
you know, what do they say? They say stupid stuff like, well, such and such guy from such and such school, they dress it up like this. I'm sure you've never heard of that thing. But they are, Big Ben. He
mm-hmm.
comes from good state. He comes from Youngstown State. He comes from Yazoo, Mississippi, you know, all that kind of stuff. Who gives a damn? Because he made it. First of all, he was a number one draft choice. No, he was not a Heisman Trophy winner. No, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, he wasn't that. But he got two Super Bowls. And whoever the talking head was had the nerve to go, oh, that don't really count. Well, you mean it don't really count?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, that's why there's so many brothers who went to HBCUs, a smaller school, and as you go down the line, you find out guys who can play, you know, they had a good fit. They had a finally, you know, the one good thing that the group ball down at Jackson State has done is he's called them to refocus and start questioning people from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say, you know, you listen to it, Lin Swan, he's a swan, he's float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and here comes John Stallworth on the other side, had just as many catches, with just as many Super Bowls, just as many touchdowns, and could actually out, you know, get this, who could actually outrun Lance Swan
and had more yards.
And had more yardage, but he could not only outrun him. Remember, he blocked the way, what's his name? He just retired a few years ago.
Yes.
From Georgia.
Right.
He was, you know, because remember, Pittsburgh would go
Hines Ward.
Trap left or trap right.
Yep.
On fourth and four, mm-hmm. fourth and five. And the intent was to break, you know, the break the line, you know, you trap the line,
yeah.
the linebacker up front. And then when you clear them, they expected clearance on the other side. And which side did they run most when they needed blocking downfield? They ran the side where John Stallworth was, but yet still the question is that. That's why when you remember when he said, well, what about you getting Hall of Fame here? You know, who cares?
Yep.
You know, he played, you know, at the end of the day, when he finally got in, I think he was very gracious. But, you know, you reach a certain point where, you know, you can't, you know, it's hard to be gracious in the face of such, so, what do you call it, assholery, because.
That's right.
You have to continue, you know. Because they tend to get worse. They don't die. They multiply.
That's just it. They get worse. The notes get worse. It's like, okay, tell me why this guy can't play, but tell me why he can't play within the bounds of the sport. You know, maybe his footwork sucks. Maybe he's not comfortable in his drop. Maybe he can't hit consistently his first receiver or his secondary receiver, something that works. We saw from Jump Street that maybe Mr. Haskins wasn't ready for prime time. He got in a situation where he did not thrive, and he got released. And he got released because he wasn't that good. He also knew that because he was black, there was a greater room for error for that to happen. He was luckily scooped up by a brother in Mike Tomlin, who didn't do it simply because he was a brother, but because he was a coach who knew how can somebody who was this good in college be this bad in the pros. He knew this was just a matter of tweaking, and it seemed like he was on the way to tweak before this thing went awry. Eric, how do you assess this?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. Well, when first of all, when you start talking about media, there's this global battle for the breaking news. Breaking news,
yes.
John Williams, you know, fictitious character I'm making up by name, because I don't want to use the names that have already been used, because I don't want to glorify them as being a legitimate source of information. Mm-hmm. It's all about the news break, because this is the most saturated level of media. Players can always weigh in, social media, right? They have their own pages. They have their own podcasts. There's like 4 zillion podcasts. You know, I mean, you can get a podcast tomorrow and, you know, say anything, and now are you going to be branded as media, right? So, and then there's some really legitimate sources that you can find on YouTube or Vimeo, or there's people who are in the know who have no name but have maybe million subscribers. Because they have good information, and they're not going through the normal routes anymore. So
right.
These major media networks, it's oversaturated. You have 4,012,000,000, you know, variations of Fox Sports, right? You know, you can watch any event in the world. Even, I mean, I was watching these fools during the pandemic, you know, doing this thing where they were throwing, like, you know, looked like they were out there throwing, I forgot what it's called, throwing these bags in a hole and cornhole or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having cornhole contests. Like, what is this? you know, what is this? You know, this is what this is. I've seen people create, you know, events, you know, like scholarship events for certain things where they have some kind of little mini tennis ball and they're supposed to kick it in the circle and it's not supposed to. I said, there's scholarship in this? And, of course, there's no brothers out there doing stuff like this. And so when
of course,
I look at the myriad.
I hate to break you. I saw something where there is actually a Major League Fishing Network.
Correct.
What?
That's saturated. That's
saturated. Oh, my God.
And then you can rope in these, you know, which I'm not a fan of, you know, and again, not for sincerity, these hunting shows, right? They call that sport. I'm watching this MF-er in camouflage for 5 minutes, you know, just scanning what's out there, hiding behind all kinds of camouflage so he can shoot an animal, and he's in a sport. MF-er, get a knife and go heads. Go, you know, go head to head. Get your knife and get in the face of this animal and go deal with him straight up if you're a real athlete, not hiding behind all this thing, and they're calling that a sport. It's oversaturated. The news cycle of trying to put something on for 24 hours so you get, you know, they start showing you classic football, the 1977 Nebraska Cornhuskers versus, right? So they got to fill things in this time slot. So they have all this film, all these shows, all this saturation. So when the people move to the head of the line and we start quoting, you know, Brandt, Schefter, that's because that's what they want. It's the breaking news. How do I put myself to the head of the line of the whole network? So they get this little sound bite where basically what they've done, and to me, I mean, I could see the sensitivity about, you know, a person and the situation that took place, which, you know, I'll weigh in on as we move forward if it pops up again. As diligently, as delicately as possible, because it's a sensitive subject to many people. But when you look at it from the standpoint of that breakdown in terms of the soundbite again, okay, I heard the soundbites. So what these MFers did, which is what they do, it was dehumanized in the sense that they were given scouting reports. Oh, he didn't play well here.
Right.
He wasn't ready to come out. Mm-hmm. He was troubled. Those were scouting reports. That wasn't human.
Right.
This is what they do 24/7. We talk about the combine all the time. We said, when are they going to start checking bicuspids? And, you know, and the, you know, put your tongue back. Hold your tongue. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
Yep,
when are we going to breathe, Jigga? Right. When are we going to? I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. So, again, it was a scouting report. Context of Chattel.
Mm-hmm.
Chattel lost his life, but, you know, this is the reason why. Now, after, you know, a couple of things about, you know, Dwayne Haskins. So, when, you know, he got drafted by, you know, the Redskins at the time, you know, Washington football team. I don't mind saying Redskins is what they were called, you know, at the time, not, you know, any denigration to anybody. And at the same time, then they had Washington football team. And we watched this gentleman, you know, the brother Haskins, young man Haskins, get ostracized during the COVID-19 violation because, you know, he went to a certain social event, you know, outside, a nightclub, a shake spot, whatever you want to call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he decides to host one at his house, and they got film and footage, whoever the setup person was for that. Who filmed that and turned that in, okay, whoever that setup person was. And then, oh, they go, you know, revering them. They go, you know, ape over this. Oh, he's violating team rules, this, that, and the other. But he still was under center on Sunday.
Yep.
Then they released him later, which was just a total – and I remember being on the show, which you might – and we talked about how that – we just went in on Rivera. He could not hide behind his cancer survivor – situation for making a coaching decision. We went at his coaching decision. He can't forget, you know, props to you for dealing with your health situation. We weighed in on the coaching decision and cut him then schmitterings on how he just utterly just ostracized and scapegoated Haskins.
Yes.
Now, when as a young man, you know, in his 20s, you know, doing certain things and making decisions, he's single, this, that, and the other, don't like the ladies. And who's to make a decision on what that is? I mean, so Joe Namath, West, they were promoting him as this ultimate playboy. It was all cool for Joe Namath.
Exactly.
Thank you.
But this young man here, so he likes, okay, so what does that have to do with anything? All right, he made a decision. I mean, what is new about that? Anywhere in the world, at any mm-hmm. decade, in any era of time. So he made some decisions that, okay, you know, were there, but he got crucified for it by his own organization.
Most
no
definitely.
One measures, no one measured. And if you deal with athletes, and I've been around them, I know how, and you know this too, all of us know this. All of us have had this experience. As staunch as they may appear, and as like, you know, game-oriented or so-called, you know, alpha male, whatever, we know it's really fragile people.
That's right.
Always looking for acceptance, you know, and that's usually mm-hmm. by their coach who will determine their playing time and who will determine their career. So there's always, for any successful athlete, they had to get coached up. They had to trust the coach. They had to play to the system. That coach's word has leverage. Overwhelming leverage. We don't know the psychological impact that had on the young man. I will share it wasn't positive. I will share it hit him hard. And then for the outsiders to say, oh, well, you're making the money so fast. He needs to get it together. I mean, come on, man. I mean, mm-hmm. Mistakes happen. I mean, I watch a guy throw 50 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. His teammates love him. You know, everyone around him loved this man. Like, they didn't yep. know his peccadillos. He's out there working on his game, you know, this, that, and the other. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe when you don't follow the script and you're not, the starting quarterback and you're a Pro Bowler or you're NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year and you got some hiccups, and then someone tells mm-hmm. you because, you know, the situation that took place with footage and filming because you went to a social event. Now, who doesn't at some point in time in their life? They call them two joints in some eras of life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's new? What's new in our communities about these things? What's yep. new? And then, you make another decision. Right, you make another decision in your house, so whoever sold you out on the footage. But where was a crime committed? Oh, you violated. Mm-hmm. You violated COVID-19, this, that, and the other. So this had me thinking about Air McNair. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Had me thinking about Steve Air McNair and the tragedy around Steve Air McNair.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, the circumstances of how whatever played out there, we have not seen where capacities of people who play that same position in that mm-hmm. same league at that mm-hmm. same level, we haven't seen these tragedies say in other ethnicities.
Right.
All right.
We know we don't.
You know?
You saw what happened to Ben Roethlisberger when he had a motorcycle accident. Something like that would kick the brother out the league big time. They brought him back. Nothing said. They didn't even wear a fucking helmet. They said,
right.
okay,
and
no one will know.
Mike, let's go back a little further. So
yes,
it's not like we fishing in the water full of white boys. You know, I'm still waiting for them to address the insanity in drug use and other mental stuff in one LT and not LaDainian Thomas. Because, you know, come on. Even I got a D in psychology, but I remember young men and some young ladies who were on something during games and stuff, and they played all with reckless abandon. Because, again, in film study, I started figuring out who on the team was assigned basically to cover Lawrence Taylor behind when they didn't know what the hell he was going to do.
Come on.
And mm-hmm. they were able to build a scenario around him that said, okay, you know, we can get away with this because, okay, we know he's going to go chase the ball. Okay.
That's true.
Now, from an offensive play calling position, what do? You go left, then you bring somebody back around from the left, let him mm-hmm. eat him up, pitch the ball to the guy coming around, Then you go, you know, and let them run out. They say run out the other door with the ball and go score a touchdown. Banks and the other and Carson and all the other guys were basically assigned to cover LT's ass because, you know, they said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Look at his eyes. His eyes never focused on nothing. And they glorified that. He after games and stuff, he couldn't talk half the time.
Yeah, playing like crazy dogs.
LT also had a visor, so you couldn't see his eyes.
That's right.
You know, so he a lot of times he played with a visor.
Yeah.
You know, which Kaepernick tried to play with because he could never break the trend of eyeing where he was throwing the football. So when he tried to go to target, they made it illegal for quarterbacks to wear a visor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
you see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
right.
That's
exactly right.
You know what I mean?
And if I remember, the punky QB of all people, Jim McMahon, started that.
And he could play with it, but Cap couldn't. You know what I'm saying? So that was like rule one, where he was set up to fail, and then the offensive line was another story. But in this situation here, you know, back to, you know, the focus of this recent event and these comments that are made, I mean, you have every right to feel like, you know, uncomfortable when you hear those statements, and they're weighing in. But even when the players out there, you know, Dez Bryant made some statements, it's still kind of not all in statement. You know, it's like a 75% diss. This or it's not a diss. You know, why are you teetotaling the line? You know, when Dez, you know, he should be more expert about that, because when he was coming out of college, they were talking about his mother, you know, being like
exactly.
a $5 hooker or some
exactly.
shit. What did that have to do with his skill set? And at
not
that point in time, that's when you got to, like, just give these people the finger and not talk to them at all and just trust your thing. But the problem is an emasculation of these situations. And so you get a young man recently. Now, I know what that 595 looks like going towards the Fort Lauderdale airport. That is nothing to walk across.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing to walk across. Understood? Nothing to it. There's not enough space available and the momentum of speed available for vehicles going in that direction, and no one's thinking about seeing a human being walk across it. You're not looking at it. That is beyond a deer in the headlight occasion. And then if you do, with the short reaction time you had, like this dump truck driver had, you can't veer into the other lane and cause chaos for everybody else. So the decision was made, I got to do this on the forward mile. And now you got to do the psychological for life of that situation, because that was not how you wanted to spend your day. You know?
No.
And then the drag that comes with it, you know what I mean? You know, because the body's trapped. And so that is nothing to cross, man. That's not a road. That's not a gateway. There's no crosswalk. That is a legitimate freeway. And that's leading to the Fort Lauderdale airport.
Yes, and you got to ask yourself why. We got Radio Reggie in the mix as well. Why would somebody go so far as to do something like that? What led them to make that decision?
Well, let me chime in real quickly to that from this standpoint, because there's this thing that I was always told to trust, I don't think that's going to be different than the brothers here, because, you know, the way people weigh in all the time here, and it makes it a fluid conversation, is that I was always told to trust my intuition over what I see and hear, you know, every time, you know. And people who know me say, man, well, you know, they'll share, you know, real quick. They'll say, man, you trust your intuition over that. Every time, it's a good observation, and I do. And we have intuition. We're not born yesterday. We've been around athletes. We know the fragility, right? You know, I mean, there's some real, like we talked about, there's some real tough guys out there, man. You know, Mike Tyson talks about shit, and Ali too. and when people quiet as kept, they said when they were walking to the ring, they were scared.
Hey, but Mike, peace and blessings, Deacons for Defense of Justice. I came in late and a couple of things to do. But what's been the latest with Dwayne Haskins? They said has another person allegedly been around him, or what have y'all heard?
That's pretty much it, that somebody else was around him. That the person may have been inebriated, but it still don't get to the point of waiting for Eric to come back. Why this happened when it did? And even when it happened, why would somebody be so callous as to say some stupid shit about it when they have no idea who the man is? You know, Gary, you're aware of this. Gary's been aware of this for a long time, as about how players' personal character have been assassinated as far back as 2011 with Cam Newton. Where somebody
the sad thing about it, Mike, is it took a bunch of Ohio State alumnus to raise hell at both individuals. That's the sad part about it, because we know who normally follows Twitter and when this goes around. Because Ohio State already said that they're going to honor his jersey and they're going to retire.
Yeah.
But this is my issue with the whole thing. And Professor, the thing that really gets me, and Professor helped me with this, Gil Brandt back in the day used to give glowing reviews about HBCUs and black players. And for him to be kissing Johnny Manziel's ass and talking about what a great pro he's going to be, and we saw he flamed out, to kind of go and attack this young man, I don't know if he's just Alzheimer's or he's just been taking too many shots of ENG. You know, it's just amazing to me. Gil Brandt used to say, Professor, back me up. If you want to get a quality player, go to that little school down Lombardi Street or go down south at that Winston-Salem school and you get some quality players. But Professor, can you help me out with that one?
Well, Gil Brandt was one of a few, as they say, he was in the real short line when it came to people who even knew there were, quote, HBCUs of any size. And, you know, you always got this line of people out there who will say, well, it's the size of the school. It's the size of the school. It ain't the size of the school at all. Wake Forest is not as big as Winston-Salem State, okay? They were producing lawyers and doctors and all those kinds of stuff because they have a law school, they have med school and graduate level at a time when a lot of HBCUs weren't even allowed by the state, their home state, to even have graduate level courses. Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and to some degree North Carolina and most other, the Dixieland schools, they would pay for black people to go out of state to graduate school to keep them out of the white schools.
Yeah.
And within the state, they would not allow them, you know. Duke really truly broke the broke people in as far as blacks because they were the United Methodist Church. And if you know about the United Methodist Church, it was integrated back in the 1700s, although they screwed up some too. But still, at the end of the day, if you were a member of the United Methodist Church, you could go to Duke University. You were not allowed to stay on campus per North Carolina state laws. And because of that, sometimes, you know, you get people out, get out on a limb with their prejudices and don't know how to get back in. And what you end up with is, You're refuting something that you're on one hand that you're actually enabling on the other hand, and at the end of the day, what do you end up with? You end up with a situation where you don't know if you're going or coming, and you end up with a situation where what's right and what's wrong is whatever the white people on the scene say is right, or whatever the same white people say is wrong. It has nothing to do with what's in writing, because half of them couldn't read it no damn way. And some of the ones who did have the capacity to read it, what would they do? They would sit there and go, well, we just don't go along with it, so you can't do it.
Uh-huh.
And you had cops in place back in the day who backed up whatever, you know, it had nothing to do with what the law says. Remember in Montgomery when they were protesting, and this was after the Brown decision. I don't care what the law says. I say y'all can't vote, get registered and vote around here, so don't even bother. So what do they have to do? They have to go get the U.S. Marshals. You end up with the little girl being escorted by U.S. Marshals. You end up with young men and young women being escorted by U.S. Marshals. And it had more to do with what the local people. And see, those people put things in place like that. Take it all totally out of day-to-day going to school or whatever, and put it on the football field, put it on the basketball court, baseball diamond, whatever. And what do you have? These same assholes telling, well, I don't think Jackie Robinson should be out there playing with the white boys. Well, the law said he can. Well, that's the law in D.C. It ain't the law down here. You know. You end up with these crazy people. You got to adhere to the law. We have a situation here in North Carolina right now. You got to adhere to the law. Police are right. The police are not always right. You know, we just had a situation where your man is in his in his apartment with his legal gun, and he gets crashed in by a bunch of police officers who quote had the legal right to shoot him because he had a gun.
Uh-huh. Look, we got to understand this.
Mike, even the master, even masters will say something nice about their slave if it's their interest. When it fit Gil Brandt's interest to talk good about HBCUs while he was going out and getting them,
mm-hmm.
that was fine. Whenever it doesn't serve the need anymore, the real Gil Brandt shows. I don't know who came up with the phrase, but it's basically said when I'm paraphrasing real badly probably, but when people show you who they are, believe them the first time.
That's right. And you were in the belly of the mouse, and you saw this happening around you. When did it get to the point where you were like, did he actually say that, or did she actually say that? And it was into the dialogue of what they were trying to supposedly broadcast as news, when it was really just...
Well, I use this one story that I tell to a lot of folks. I know mm-hmm. I've said this on several times. I was a researcher at Mouse, and there's usually a researcher or a series of researchers for every entity of what they do, whether it be a ball game, whether it be a sports center, whether it be a pre or post game show, or what have you. There's always an element of a researcher, and we would assist in a sense in doing the shows. Now, a certain issue came up, and no one really had the answer for it. And one of our researchers basically said, oh, no, it's this, this, and this. And the producer was like, well, what does he know? He's just a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of just that statement in and of itself.
Exactly.
He or she is there to help you get the facts right. And then mm-hmm. when he or she gives you a fact, that either A, you don't know about, B, it doesn't fit to your agenda, all of a sudden, that's you have a problem with it. And see, that it's the same way in regards to black and brown athletes and male and female athletes. So then when you mix the two together, black male athletes and black female athletes, you get the Tiger Woods backlash. You get the Williams sisters backlash. And then it doesn't stop there. It goes with all of them. Because, see, here's the thing. Now, Gil Brandt is no different than Al Campanis. And we all remember Al Campanis on Jackie Robinson Day back in 1987. Well, you know, well-respected person in the sport, very influential and all that, but he tipped his, his inner redneck came out. And and again, people were backtracking more than Kenny Houston and Deion Sanders and Troy Polamalu to cover his ass. And see, therein lies the problem, because see, again, Mouse made sure they the first thing out of their mouth was we stand behind Adam Schefter and what he said. So in their eyes, when they were given the opportunity to get it right, they still did. And again, the apology, they're not apologies. The only apology is that, damn, I got caught. That's the only apology. It's not that. Gil Brandt and Alan Schefter stand by what they said.
The ratings go up.
Here's my question again.
When the white folks again at Ohio State got so outraged and everything, then and only then when they react, black Twitter and all, we can react, but it's like all them niggas upset again, so what? But when black folks and white folks from the school that honor him start getting upset, is that when things going to change, or is it just going to be, oh, well, they'll be all right in 2 weeks and let it go?
No, well, this is what credibility, brother, and Tony, if I can say something, this is what credibility becomes an issue. You know, ever since more and more players took more and more of a personal voice into what was going on, people got put in check. Now, some got put into a hard check like they did with some basketball players, but football hadn't really been affected by it yet. That's why they had some football writers cover people's asses by being publicists essentially for the team. But what we have now, a bunch of players that are saying, this guy ain't shit. Do you really think he's going to get a chance to interview them, or that they're going to talk to him? No. They're going to give him a freeze out because they know he's bogus. They know he ain't shit. And because of that.
And Mike, the one thing that these guys have that Jim Brown didn't have back in the day, that the other players that they went after over the years didn't have, is that they have their own voice. Now, yes, some of them make missteps with some of what they say. But again, that's going to happen. I don't justify or whatever. It's going to be a part. You know, again, like Eric said earlier, Haskins is going to make mistakes. He's a young man. But see, the thing is, when Joe Namath goes out and fucks, you know, everybody from every borough, he is exalted. He is put on a pedestal. Take away Super Bowl III, and you've got a drunk, which is exactly who he is, a drunk.
An average quarterback at best.
I'm not even going to get into the football aspect because, see, here's the thing. Give Joe Namath the Haskins treatment, you know? Give him, because, see,
T-Mac, you can run the table on that. Sorry, you know, I mean, Snake Stabler. You can run the I mean, you can run the table on
Bobby Lane.
Exactly.
Bobby Lane.
I mean, you know, Montana, you know, got caught up in stuff earlier in his career, you know, in terms of rumors about potential usage. Lynn Dawson allegedly gambling right before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when we look at the historicals, it's overwhelmingly negative unless you're threatened. I mean, you know, what makes a person go, you know, throw for 50 TD passes, 8 picks, and have his teammates, you know, deal with them, and he can ball out. So Haskins can ball. Could he get coached up a little bit more? Did he depend on his talent a little bit more than maybe the execution of learning the NFL game? True, that's where you get coached up, and that's where the so-called Washington team failed him. So lack of maturity, because he's, you know, he's got a little panache, he's got a little, you know, swag to him. You know, he's like Slash, you know what I mean? He's going to do the new money thing and get the whip, you know, his vehicle, the right sled. He's going to bling up a little bit. So what?
Exactly.
So what? You know, what's new about that? I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson was floating the pink Cadillac, perming up, and was so nice with his hands. He's considered the nicest. And he was brash. He wasn't being sold out by the mob, you know, back in those days. You know, the Bernie Carbos, the Palermo fan, all those people that owned Sonny Liston in these crews. He was outside of that. He had the wisdom. He had his little businesses. You know, fought too much, things shifted for him. But, you know, we know how that goes when you get too many shots to the crown. So with all that being said, what's new?
Exactly.
What the F is new?
Exactly.
And so,
Eric, even the scrutiny. Even the scrutiny, because, you know, look, whenever stories like Haskins and stuff like that break, there for the grace of God, we understand what Jack Johnson went through.
Yes.
And
same concept.
Absolutely. Same concept. His biggest crime was he was a big black man beating up on people.
Yep.
That's the ultimate how dare you. And oh, you're going to have you're going to go fuck our women too? Oh, we can't have that.
I mean, they don't make them like Jack Johnson in terms of the form of courage, you know. And Joe Louis had to emasculate and subjugate his whole black manhood based on the Jack Johnson theory.
And it still wasn't enough because they emasculated him again.
And we know that. So in other words, you got to stand up. And so Joe followed all that guidance and, you know, did that. And then you read the headlines, the sepia bomber. Everything was a race on it. The brown gorilla.
Yeah.
They called him the brown bomber, not because of his hands was night, because of complexion. Even that was a racist terminology. And so the thing being is, it's nothing outside the spectrum that we have not seen before. So, okay, what happens? You know, you get some, you know, being in coaching, working with young people from different bandwidths, and, you know, a lot of individuals, you know, who come through the ranks looking for guidance, know you've got contact, and we're not going to mention, you know, a number of pro athletes who, you know, you may have had some dialogue with, and as they go through the process, they want the truth. They're like, hey, how do I maneuver through this lane? Okay, well, let this work for you and not let it work you. You know, that's what you got to prep for. You know, so you can have the longevity afterwards where you didn't waste so many years of time. You know, I know this one gentleman real quick. He's a brain surgeon, literally brain surgeon. He's also like one of the doctors for fight, championship level fights here. I'll just say in the Northern California, you know, Vegas region, right? And he had a son that went to a Pac-12 school. Academically, he could have took scholarships on other levels, but he went there and then eventually ended up getting a scholarship. And it's a prestigious Pac-12 school. And I'm talking to him one day, and he's just looking. He says, "Man, the amount of time and hours that was spent behind this sport, and it didn't turn out to be an NBA career. You know, a little some overseas love. Now he works for the NBA franchise. This young man, good young kid. You know, I knew him when he was a child." And he's like, but he's just evaluating to me, like, the amount of time that was put in this wasted. These are the wastelands that happened. So the amount of time that Haskins honed his skills, and the practice and the still amount of time he was putting together in Miami. And does this result in me going from, say, a potential, in my mindset, Heisman candidate to maybe an All-Pro player to a career as a third-string backup? And people don't understand the psychological impact that can have on anybody. They just see a quarterback. There's no guarantees with that. You know, that it's going to turn into a career. So you have to, and me and Fred talked about this, you know, everyone's talked about this, where you have to kind of do some preparatory that you need to max this thing out while you can. I mean, there was a number of guys I knew that were NBA journeymen, carved out multiple years on multiple NBA teams. And if I would ask them each summer, like, okay, so what's the game plan for next year? I would be sharing, like, whoever signs me. Literally. So they were just like, listen, I'm not going to be a pro. I'm not going to be an all-star, right? I'm not going to be, you know, a Hall of Fame player. I just want to max this thing out until I can get my pension, get my income, get my merch deals, get my long-term deals that associate with this product, and move on. And then maybe I go into broadcasting, which has happened for the person I'm speaking to, and then also be successful with it, which also has happened. And he's not, and he wasn't a household name. But now he is, because he shifted arenas. But it was the prep work from the get-go. This is how you max this game out. Max it out, flip it into something else so you can have longevity. And what this guy was saying about his son was like, I mean, all that practice time. I mean, and he like literally dedicated his life to make sure he had all the camps, the right coaches from a youth, eighth grade up, all the way to college, all the way there. And then when he seen him, was all said and done, he graduated, all that, he did all this stuff extremely well, really representative, all that plus stuff. He was just trying to calculate the amount of hours that he felt was wasted because it didn't turn out to a career. I said, well, you need to utilize that in another way, which has happened into like be a front office managerial type, getting the broadcast and getting the coaching. You have longevity there. You see what I mean? It doesn't happen to the guy under center who's the one trick pony sometimes, you know, and now it's a wrap and they got this Ishby at them. Because that, you know, the concrete don't give, then how do they prepare? So it's such a more overall perspective than just locking in on a guy that, you know, made some personal decisions that on the scale of things is absolutely nothing. You don't get cut for those.
No, you don't. You don't get cut for them, but you do still have to answer the question, who did you hit? If you did not hit or get hit by anybody, regardless of what level it was, what can you tell me that makes sense about the sport? This is where your analytics have to come in without the anal. And that's why an asshole like Schefter should lose his fucking job. He doesn't know anything about it. I've seen people like him, Gary Myers, who will sniff around jocks to get stuff from them, but not put out stuff for them. In other words, tidbits about the sport that help you to understand and analyze it better. What they do is they serve themselves, and they become avatars of assholery in making sure that they tell you that they are what the sport is about. And they don't know a fucking thing. If I had to believe Adam Schefter telling me something about football, I'd be boo-boo the fool.
Just to add to that, I want to be transparent. I want to be as transparent as possible. Like, and I think it speaks with all of us here. All of us have a modicum of knowledge about our sport, whether it be our favorite sport. Everybody has a favorite, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, baseball, or what have you. But in that same vein, I would never, and I've gone out of my way to do this over the years, and I still do. I have no problem deferring to someone who has played the game.
Yes.
Now, if you remember
those last years, the last years of one Howard Cosell,
yes,
were ugly because he went on, you know, he went on this whole thing about a quote unquote jockocracy, in a
yes.
sense, and as a matter of fact, arrogantly, one of the last books that he wrote in his career was "I Never Played the Game."
Yeah,
and to me, it was sort of like, you ain't got to write a book for us to let us know, Howard. You know, no disrespect. But see, that was the thing. When Cosell was at, you know, when Cosell was at the height of his popularity, he was one, the most popular guy and the most hated guy at the
true.
Same time. And I and to me, that's
not
a compliment.
That's how he kept his job.
And see, that look. You know, he made his career off of Ali. I think we can all agree on that. And he turned it into you know, he basically, you know, put it into a multi-billion-dollar whatever. And early on there was some sort of uniqueness to it because eventually the two of them became, you know, became friends, but there was still the exploitative factor that Cosell took advantage of. But see, now these guys now, it is all about the exploitative factor. It,
yes.
it has nothing to do with relationship or what have you. One of the reasons why I stopped watching pre and post game shows. One, because they weren't telling me anything more than I already knew. And if that comes
true.
Off as arrogant, so be it. But there's always been this mentality of the, you know, the sort of bratty, snot-nosed, non-athlete guy running the show against whatever. And, you know, it reached its height a few years ago. With an alleged former athlete, but I don't look at this guy was just Doug Gottlieb. When Turner Sports first started doing the NCAA games, this arrogant slut basically was like, well, he was the only white guy in there, and he basically came out and basically said, you know, well, now you're going to get things from a white man's point of view,
that's
and
right.
again. He felt comfortable enough to say it. Now, you know, if I'm an athlete in that period of time or what have you, you know, I'm probably either in jail or out of a job because there's about 6 gallons of ass whoop that would have to be implemented on him. But see, the thing is, he basically said out loud what these folks have been saying in their minds all these years, and again, it's done subtly. You know, we all remember how they sort of took pot shots at OJ back in the day. We all remember, you know, some of the things that Brent Musburger used to say behind Bill Russell's back as well. See, the thing I hate more than anything else is that folks think that this is something new. If you've been paying attention, and if you've been around, you know, long enough, as all of us have been, it's nothing new. It's just packaged differently. And it's and see now there's more. Even though there's more forums, the bullshit is still there. It's just packaged.
And see, don't forget what Brent did to Sunny Hill. He ran Sunny Hill off.
Brent was one of these guys that basically said. He was saying at the height of the 80s, at the height of the 68 Olympics, he was saying those guys, Carlos, or they should have been deported. They should have been,
correct.
He went full ham.
We're looking live.
But see again, people keep thinking that this is something new, and it's not.
No,
again,
it's
just
new.
Done differently. That's all. That's the thing people need to understand here is that this isn't Joseph Crow instead of Jim Crow. It's the same damn thing.
Well, you got to look at a guy like Schefter as not as a guy like Mike's, you know, is making the assessment that, you know, have you been hit? Because if that's the case, then, you know, no women can be on the sidelines or talk football or anything of that
right,
matter, too.
Right.
And so
right,
they're,
right,
you know, they're entitled to be there, you know, and they're entitled to have their viewpoint. They're entitled to sideline reporting.
And Eric, there's a bunch of women I would rather hear. Put this way,
they
I
do a good job,
you know,
an excellent job, you know, and do an excellent
way,
job.
I swear on my old Met yearbooks, I would love for them to put Doris Burke on the lead NBA. Instead of Jeff Van Gundy
thank
doing
you,
his Woody Allen impersonation.
That's right. She learned.
You know.
She learned
yeah,
she
you know, yeah. I mean, Doris played, you know, and this, that, and the other. There's some really good, you know, analysts out there that have done a good job. So, I mean, in other words, you can be entitled. I mean, a guy like Cosell, first of all, you know. When you mentioned this book, you know, I never played the game. He got it from, you know, he mimicked that from Jackie Robinson's autobiography that I never had it made. That's all he did. You know, it was a total plagiarism. And by him saying it's played the game is to say that he was like a word that wasn't used at the time. He was counterculture. That was his hustle. You know, Muhammad Ali needed a friend in media because he was hated. You know, he's so loved now after he lost his faculties, but we all know he was hated at his peak.
Well,
highly, highly hated and controversial. So he needed someone in media who had a place to stay that can give him a forum. So, you know, he played it for what it was worth that particular way. But, again, so when you look at what's this little cat that's on Fox News, the little short dude, you know, that comes over. He's Mr. Scoop Guy. I forgot his name.
Jay Glazer?
Glazer. So Glazer and Schefter – to have an arm wrestling match. They're probably about the same height, you know, and got the same kind of attitude about it. They're not really known for breaking down, you know, X's and O's. It's always scoop. They're the scoopers. And so they operate.
I know exactly what they're scooping too.
But they're like feds. I see them as like feds. The guy that can go get, you know, the guy that breaks up people a few dollars to get some street news, to get his little stoolies in every NFL office. They got stoolies everywhere. That's their value, you know, and that's why they get paid obscene money for just being scoopologists, not breaking down the game. We're not going to see them break down game tape. Well, the reports are coming out of Dallas today that he's going to go on the injury report. And I mean, that's all it is. It's just basically scoop. It's no breakdown of information. It's no breakdown of the game because they're not looking for that at these networks. And the more that people talk them up, the more interest they get. So, you know, it's like good cop, bad cop. It doesn't mean how accurate they are. Is are they listening? That's all they want because it's too competitive out there with knowledge and information. I mean, you can go online and find some cat that may have played ball, and he's breaking down the X's and O's at a level that, you know, an offensive coordinator who thinks they can run the show can't match. So it's not about that per se. It's just what is their role in this game? Okay, they're a media person on a major media network who pays the kind of money whose advertising budget is in the quadzillions. Plus, when you start talking about the pregame studios, the National Football League dictates that these networks, when they bid, how many people they want in the booth and how long the pregame show could be because they need all the media attention they can get on those networks. They're the ones who are running the show on James Brown, Esiason, you know, Sims, and whoever else sits in that panel, Cower, and then whatever happens on Fox and Jimmy John. You got like 17 people sitting on one desk for an hour. Bradshaw on that crew. I mean, it's like 18 MFers on every channel. Yeah. And it's all watered down. But the National Football League, if you want the rights to our stuff and you're going to pay us the money, we dictate you have this much pregame per game because we need this many hours of coverage to promote our model. They're the ones who's dictating that booth. They're the ones who are dictating that pregame analysis and then where they can hire X players. That's not these networks coming up. The National Football League has deemed that in those contracts. That's part and parcel of what they do.
Now, they're doing it now because they have a motivation. They have money to deal with. They have, as Tony would like to say, there's payrolls that have to be met. So now all the fantasy sports people, their payrolls getting met. All the people who are betting money, their payrolls are being met. Everybody else who's got an indirect or direct way to make money, they have to find a way to deal with this. But there has to be a way in which information can be disseminated properly within the confines of the sport. That's what we used to tell each other when we were working draft magazines and say, you know what, don't fuck this kid's life up. Tell me what he can do. Tell me what he cannot do.
And that day's over, Mike. And you know what, the pure journalism, the purest thing, it does exist in pockets, but it's practically over because the thing about that is they've turned it into debate TV.
Yeah,
I mean, you can get two guys sitting across from each other, you know, and I'll just mention one guy. Skip. I'm like, Jamie Foxx does a real funny version of what I just shared. You know, I'm like, you got it spot on. And they're sitting across each other for 2 hours. And that's 20 hours a week live, not counting the fact that it'll go podcast, it'll go on the channels, it'll get streamed, right? And then then they have to have a podcast. They have to show up on certain radio shows to get that to meet their contract needs. So they pimp them out. You got to get on 8 shows. You'll see certain of these characters on 9 different segments of the same network because that's how they get paid, and that's in their contract. They don't just do a one thing only. This is what happened with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, after his career was over, you know, got hired by TNT, right? You know, to be a in personality, right? You know, in stage personality in the pregame, right? And you know, but then they told Kobe, well, that's not all. You're gonna need to do a podcast. We may want to do a show on you. Right, we may want you to be on True TV, that bullshit where we see Shaq on 30 different shows of nothingness, of nothingness. But that's all part of that TNT contract. It's not separate. Barkley has a podcast. Kenny Smith had a show that was about his personal life, his family. It was one of the worst things you could see. Not that to be about his family life, but the production was horrible. I think it lasted like 5 shows or something. It was terrible. I caught a few. Nothing against Kenny's local cab, but the show quality was like, come on, man. But that's part of the contract.
Eric, you mentioned this earlier, and I think this is going to, hopefully it'll be the saving grace of what old media is, and that's the internet. You know, you can go to YouTube, and
it's a lot of good stuff.
You're gonna get a lot of the same, white supremacist sports radio on there, but you'll also get guys. One of my personal favorites, and we've talked about him, and we do Flemlo Raps. Now, Flemlo is a former college football player at an HBCU. He has the misfortune of being a Cincinnati Bengal fan, but there are worse things in life than to be a Cincinnati Bengal fan. But the thing is, the thing I like about what he does is it's old school journey. You know, he does a series on former players. It's called Whatever Happened To. And he did, there was one in particular, he did a 3-part one on Josh, and it was something that no network would do because it basically, one, it humanized them, which of course they, you know, they'll never try to do with most black male athletes unless it's a self-serving sort of thing. But he literally did who, what, where, when, why, how, and he didn't try to publicize it. It was just like you leave it up to the to the individual. All too many now. These and Eric is right, where it's literally basically Rock'em Sock'em Robots, where
If you don't agree with my opinion, you're an idiot. You know, the whole Jordan James thing, it's like the Jordan folks have to, you know, keep up a certain thing. The James folks have to keep up a certain – if someone dares to say, can't we like them both? Oh, hell no. And see, why is that? When did it become fashionable to have to, you know, in a sense, say you either have to take a side, you can't be not so much maybe you have to have an opinion, and I'll judge whether it's a good take or
and
a bad.
And a case in point to that real quick, Tony, I mean, to stay in that lane, I mean, so Kareem can say 1,000 things, but if he talks about LeBron, it's a headline.
So he can
say 1,000 things about reality. So it all depends on how that data is streamed and what's trending, right?
Well, see,
I mean,
you'll literally watch.
Hear me out on this real quickly. I'm going to bounce out after this. You literally see a laptop open on a certain media type's desk while they're having an announcement. So he's got all the information in the world at his fingertip with his laptop. So really, was that your opinion? Or when the camera was off, he just did a Google search? Trifling.
There you go.
That's
part of the oldest trick in the book, you know, pitting black against black. You know, Malcolm talked about this. You know, they would all, whenever Malcolm would be on, they would always make it a point to put on a dissenting voice, because then they could always say, See, he doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that way.
Well, if Michael Irvin is sitting across from Stephen A. Smith, it's similar.
Oh,
you know, I mean, you got this one NBA network where you got a former NBA player, you know, sitting across from a guy who allegedly, you know, is with his ex-wife. Well, how's that?
Mm-hmm.
These are realities, man. So we can't be either sugarfooting it, you know, and walking around and tightroping. And the people who put all that together, they want that entertainment thing, that gossipy shit. And that's what it's turned into. They'll take a Twitter line from that, which blows my mind. They'll speak on something for 20 minutes on what an athlete said in a one-line statement on Twitter. Aaron Rodgers said today that he likes apples and oranges with his granolas. What's your thoughts about this? Skip, I don't know about apples. Maybe that's not why he ain't played so well. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they'll run with it. And see, I also think one of the reasons why they go after Twitter, because, see, it gives them advocacy. Now that, you know, you have players that have their own websites or have their own media folk or whatever, they can't, you know, in their mind's eyes, they can't get to them the way that they would like to. So they'll take and bear with me. I don't want to go too far, but, you know, the most interpreted and misinterpreted book of all time is the Bible. You will get hate groups that will take a thing of scripture to justify their wickedness. You will have people who will do dirt and whatever, and then all of a sudden they'll quote scripture and we're supposed to think something differently. But see, that's the thing in this media world. They'll take an innocuous thing from Twitter, and it doesn't have to be from this year. It could be from 1857. And yes, there was no Twitter back then, but that's my point. The thing is, as long as it fits their agenda,
Which brings us to what's most important, methodology. I got Gary with me back, and Gary saw in 2011, we both saw what everybody would eventually see, that they would take a gentleman and assess him film-wise, and they would talk about stuff that didn't have a fucking thing to do with the sport. And I'm talking about Cameron Newton and this asshole, Nolan Nowacki, went out of his way to assess him in such a manner that he didn't even mention football. He just said, I don't like this nigga. He's got a fake smile. He's disingenuous. He does this. He does that. He cheats on his taxes. He cheats in backgammon. I don't give a fuck. I don't like him. Don't give him any money because he's a nigga. You know, that's essentially what it was. when it got to football stuff, it was like, oh, by the way, you know, he won a national championship. He beat the main people that he was supposed to beat, all this other shit. And then they tried to say, well, he was possibly playing somewhere else or was given money to play somewhere else. And all of that shook out. He ended up with a decent career, a career that could have been better. But the whole point was, Gary said, why? Why did you do all this shit when it had nothing to do with football? Big G, I don't need to speak for you. Tell me what's up.
Well, he did it. He did the same thing with Michigan out of Texas. One year later, he did exactly the same thing with Michigan out of Texas. The same scenario. Now, my thing is this. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Number two, who's paying you to do it? Number three, what mentality do you have to even try this?
Exactly.
He is African American.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, you want to do this? We don't want you anywhere near us.
That's right.
Now, this clown on the walkie is now in the NFL offices.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a job.
Mike, what's so crazy is it reminds me of an old Flintstone line. Whose baby is it? What's your angle?
Right.
I'll buy that.
That's exactly what they did. They bought that, and they gave him a job. They gave him a fucking job. He was paid to assassinate someone's character, and for his work, he got paid. We've seen other people like, what's his fucking name?
Jeremiah
and others do the same shit now when it comes to certain players.
That leads me to the question. What is the NFL there for? These young men took Vince Young and gave him an episode.
That's right.
You know about that? They would back up and say, okay, let's do this differently.
Here's the thing, Mike. Here we got Daniel Snyder sitting up in here doing the gangster move where he's messing with the money. As my man Nino Brown said, don't nobody know nothing in Washington? And then he's giving $4 million of money? Don't nobody know nothing? And go ahead, Gary. Roll with it, Gary.
Daniel Snyder is going to jail right now.
Tell him what's going on, Gary. Yeah, go ahead and tell him what's going on. Go ahead and tell him, Gary.
He's dealing with the NFL. He crossed the line. He's going to jail.
Tell him what happened, Gary.
Yeah.
What happened was that over the last 10, 15 years, they've been giving money off of the province.
Oh, not to scam. I mean,
not Nino Brown.
Is this Joe Pesci?
How dare you?
Is this Joe Pesci Snyder?
Not the Post.
That's a scam. Not the Post.
By the end of this year,
the cash cow.
The Super Bowl is way. They made more money than they made.
Oh, not the scam. No, he's not in the scam.
Somebody got paid.
It was not
and
just
don't
scam.
Talk about the sexual harassment scam. Still going on. They forgot about the sexual harassment.
He's been a busy boy. Patrick Frost in the mix. And I got to say this. I got to add this to the mix. If there are two sets of books, if... Two steps
around,
because
it's ain't no if, it's improving. Ain't no if, Mike, it's already been proven.
If all these things are applicable, then,
are the books cooked?
Then,
I mean, no,
then
the commander's books aren't cooked.
And Rachel Ray cooked them books.
Then somebody gets their money taken away from them. Mm-hmm. Then
gentlemen, the Washington Commanders, the
Commandos. That's a hot name. Commandos.
So Snyder is about the porn. Right, he's about the porn. He's about the skim. He's about cooking the books.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Is this Daniel Soprano?
It's kind of like a brother to me. It's an old
Meyer Lansky. Meyer Lansky Snyder.
It's an old Kingfish line, guys.
Oh, y'all want to see the books? Okay,
it is. It is. Now you see, you know, the thing, the book.
Hey, Mike, they're playing a little three card money over there.
Oh yeah.
Daniel Snyder's at the head of the table.
Look, the governor of Virginia is trying to hook him up
with a stadium, and he's trying to get taxpayer dollars to go in the back door with that.
That's right.
Getting back to the can't do this. Okay. What Noah and the Rocky did was steal thousands of dollars for this kid. He was in the top ten in the draft. When that report came out, he dropped 21 places. 21 places he dropped.
It didn't work. He tried. Don't think he didn't try.
Patrick, what's up, fellas? Do you have
any updates for us regarding the Haskins situation?
No, as I said before, man, during this season, I got a little information, but I'm not going to say or confirm anything because the person I have to call is his aunt, and I know his aunt very well. And she is, you know, just recuperating from some health issues. And I would be seeking information with her in that kind of condition. And so we're talking up in the family. So I mean, that source alone. But basically, sure. there are some questions that still have to be remained answered because Key Squid put it right. Something just ain't right.
Hey Patrick, I want to give you a condolence to I think the brother Johnson report out of D.C. the Capital brother that passed away this week. I want to send my condolences out to you. He was a strong figure in Washington D.C.
The newsman. A situation like this. But I will say this on the record. Let me put it to you this way. There's one thing I do know that happened to him, and it's emblematic of a lot of young people who get too much too fast, may not be ready to handle it. Now, he comes from a solid family. His mother's NBA. As a matter of fact, his mother is an NBA organization with one of my close frat brothers here. They knew how to handle money. But the problem is when you get that kind of money too fast, some decisions for anybody can be made that can lead you to make some decisions.
True.
What happened to him in Washington, D.C., you know, you get around your homeboys and family, you get a little acting crazy. You know, it happens to everybody, to some people. And then there's also there's question with his wife. There's some things that happened. Last year she knocked him in the mouth, and he walked out the house because he know if he had retaliated, what would happen? You know what I mean?
Ray Rice, and
I won't say, and I'll leave it at this point. That was a source of questioning a long time ago. Even when she's at Ohio State, because Wanda, Miss Gray, said, Patrick, there's something about her that ain't right. But that's none of my business. That's his wife, and that's his choice. But sometimes people can get with people where you can make decisions about some stuff and going, okay, we need to maybe slow down a little bit. But he was, when he was on the Pittsburgh, you know, I knew around Tomlin that wasn't going to happen what happened in D.C.
Yeah.
And it was, reports were
he was improving. He was definitely putting in work. And here's the ultimate insult to this. In spite of the fact that he was on the mend and he was starting to have the light come on, you had a prick like this motherfucker putting that Adam Schefter would put the poison tongue out there and make prejudgments. He who never played a fucking down of ball, he who never got hit, he who never hit anyone else. All I'm saying is, now that I have a quorum here, I can pass sentence on this motherfucker.
Uh-oh.
If it please the motherfucking court, and I mean this with every fiber of my being, there's nothing I can't stand than a phony. Adam Schefter, this fucking anal orifice, is guilty of dumb fuckery in the first degree. Guilty of assholery in the first degree. And
I keep telling you, is that a noun or a verb?
In the first degree. Because he used this so-called platform to degrade and deliberately character assassinate a black man who he couldn't touch because he could not come close to what he was as not an athlete but a man. Instead of just being on point and producing the information accurately, he went out of his way to abuse his authority. And for that,
he found this cocksucker
guilty, guilty, guilty. And as I
assholery.
A-S-S-H-O-L-E-R-Y. Assholery.
And G, the colloquial version is A-Z-Z-H-O-L-E-R-E-E. For those who can't get that enunciation correct.
Mike, you know something? He ain't the only one. Let's add Gil Brandt to that too.
He's received a few bombs.
I'm not done.
But the whole point was that Schefter, who had the power to say something, abuse something, with great power, as in trying to assess these people, comes great responsibility. Being accurate and being critical without trying to carve a knife in someone's back. Gil Brandt is just as guilty, and because he's an old standby part of the league, he's even worse. Schefter's a piece of shit, and everybody knows it. So I know now this year they will treat him differently. There will not be as many scoops because there will not be as many crashes for him to sniff around. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as Gil Brandt is concerned, building bridges, Gil, you can build 1,000 bridges and be known as Gil Brandt, the great bridge builder. But suck one cock, and you're a cocksucker for life. You're a cocksucker for life, Gil. Congratulations. And don't forget to spit and swallow.
Uh-huh.
And they all have been inducted into the Trey Wingo wing. Forever pieces of shit for life, because you know that fucker Trey Wingo.
I mean, we went on him a long time ago.
You know what I mean? That low life piece of shit, Trey Wingo. This young man here, at the age of 8, was part of a gang group. That watched 12 homicides.
Yes,
fucking, did he just get drafted? Can I hear about his skill set?
You put it on me. I'm going to get what I want to get.
Where the fuck is this coming from?
I said, some of that is It's supposed to be a team effort, but you put stuff on me like that, I'm going to get what I want, and you won't be consulted. So you need to look at that list and buy it. Go down there and see what you got from that list. No, go down there and see what you got.
Yeah, Reg, we can hear your conversation. I mean, Reg is ordering a cheese pizza with anchovies. Reg, what are you doing?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, make sure there's something for everybody, please. But, gentlemen, now that we are on football, let's get to another aspect of football, and that is the USFL back for the first time since 1985. Now,
yeah.
Before they left, they had a TV contract. It looked as if they were in a good position to do good things and gain their own ground as a niche. But that's when Donald Trump fucked everything up. So now it's coming back Saturday. What say you guys about the USFL?
Well, I'm looking at a couple a game with New Jersey Generals just to see what they have. I guarantee you, they're going to be like 6-7 ball players in the league that might last to a four practice and not make an NFL team. Because people are going to be looking. That's what they're going to show.
Yeah, that's the transfer portal for the NFL, the USFL.
That's one of them because they, ironically, they formed an alliance with the XFL earlier this week, and I don't think it was by any coincidence that they had to come out the week that the XFL is about to start up their games, but.
No.
Exactly. But
are they going to be? How big is this season? Are they going to be the meet?
Basically,
how many games do they play?
Well, it's going to be four games a week. Now this week they're going to do one Saturday night.
The season.
Ten games.
Will they be able to meet payroll by week 7?
Good question. Well, we'll see. I mean,
that's where it starts and finishes, right? Can you meet payroll for 10 games? What was that other league that folded because they couldn't meet payroll?
The American Alliance of Professional Football.
That's Polian, right? Bill Polian has nothing to do with that league, right?
No, what league signed up this week?
They didn't meet payroll, man. I mean, they didn't meet payroll at all after, I mean, they might as well get the lingerie football team, out there for something. At least they can meet payroll.
Yeah, at least they're still in existence. That's true.
Well, the thing about that also was now the league folded, but somehow or another, the software that was used by the league or whatever, was bought up by an outsider, because the guy who was running the league was a former, I believe he was like a former car owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, of all people, and he basically leveraged the league to make this software deal, and therein lies the problems. Now, I don't know, I am not Louis Rukeyser. I am not the that bald-headed prick that's on CNNBC. But the thing is, they offered the one thing, much like how it was back in '83, they have a TV contract, a various TV contracts, because the games are Fox Sports is actually a not just a rights holder, but they're actually a part owner, and the games are going to be on Fox, FS1. USA Network, NBC, and others. As a matter of fact, the game Saturday night, the inaugural game Saturday night, they're going to take a page from Super Bowl I, where Fox and NBC are going to have the game on prime time at 7:30. And as the weeks go on, they're going to have Friday, like I guess week 2, they're going to have a Friday, a Saturday, and 2 Sunday games. Now, this week they're doing one big one big hello to everybody on Saturday night, and then you're going to have 3 games Sunday, noon, 4, and 7. And they're going to rotate it. as it goes along. Now, all the games are going to be played at UAB's home park. And then I believe week six or week seven, they'll be playing at Legion Field in Alabama. So they're literally taking baby steps, you know, the early on, what have you. Now, this is a story that I saw that moved about a while ago. There are people from the old USFL that are trying to possibly sue them for the name, for the names of the old teams, because every team that's out there is a former the name is there. But see, my thing is, how much you gonna do with that $3 that you got from the NFL?
I mean, but branding matters, you know, because there so they have a legitimate stance, and it's as simple as this. That movie, Let's Do It Again, right? You know, with the great Staple Singer singing the lead tune. So there was a character there called Biggie Smalls. And when notorious Christopher Wallace came out and called himself Biggie Smalls,
very true.
Those who knew were like, what the fuck? Wasn't that a character? I think that was Calvin Lockhart's role. He was
very
Biggie Small.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
You know, and...
No. That was John Amos. That was John Amos.
He was Biggie Small. Okay. One of the brothers in there was Biggie Smalls, you know?
Exactly.
They had great nicknames, all those gangsters, right? Mm-hmm. And so the thing was, they sued, and he had to go by Notorious B.I.G. at that point on. So there's always leverage there. And when I look at the New Jersey Generals, I go, are these the original owners? Because when they put that market out there, they still got the trademark and the branding.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't release that shit. So for you to get that uniform, that branding, and sell merch, oh, you got that copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
They got a total legitimate stance. And that's what I've seen in this USFL. And I've seen... who's the top running back? That kid from Michigan State, right? You know, maybe
Walker.
The top running back coming out of college,
Walker,
possibly.
Yes,
did the general sign him? Like they signed Herschel?
They're treating this as strictly.
This is skullduggery. This shit ain't gonna last, man. It's another one trick pony. It's just another scout. This is NFL Europe called the NFL. You know, NFL Europe version, that didn't last, right? Because they don't go over Europe anymore when they had those little NFL Europe squads that was financed by the NFL, right?
Yep.
You know, and to raise cats up. This is just a marketing ground. It's almost like a format of the, what's that, the indoor football league, you know, where my man Aaron Garcia was tearing shit up for the New York Dragons.
That's right. Yeah.
Or whatever he played, I know Aaron well. And so the thing is, it's like there's a number of these folks out here. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, but you said it all right there, because I'm like, when I seen it, I said, damn, they're using the original names? I'm like, did they get the trademark and copyright and buy the patent for that? If they're duplicating that? I mean, Trump right now is licking his lips, you know, to get some of that general money. He's not sitting down on that.
Yeah, I'll say this. You're 100% correct, and all balls out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Football, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year. That's what extends it. The hand of the NFL is always out there sniffing on something.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is. I'm with you, but you're 100% correct. There's something that smells, and it's going to be money.
You got that right.
I hope they get the full season. I really do. I really do.
I hope they get a full season.
That's one of the Generals games. Yeah.
The issue of the $3 is still in effect. If they're going to try to crack, they got to say, from a legal standpoint, the case has been settled. Y'all won. You got $3. Sit down. Shut the fuck up. What else can they get out of this?
I mean, what they get out of it is just, you know, basically the fact that whatever's broadcasting rights are there. That was negotiated. Yep. You're part of that team. There's money there. They ain't getting $3. They ain't suing for $3. Because this thing has to be fine. If you don't have a home field, if you're not playing in the Meadowlands or what's it called now? I mean, I'm going back to the general. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I was wondering when Pele and the Cosmos were going to run out when I said Meadowlands. Where the hell is Doug Kotar when you need him? But But that being said, there's no home games, man. There's no home games at MetLife. If they're playing it all at UAB,
come on.
I mean, they might as well play that blue-gray game that they play in Alabama. They might as well find that field and play.
But guys, keep this in mind. There's one thread that goes to all of this. And we know what it is. The betting line is always going to be happening.
Oh, boy.
All you got to do, and Patrick, I don't know if you've gone to their website. I mean, for Christ's sakes, they're already, parlay this and,
Patrick just hit it head on. Get the themes to start placing their over and unders.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
know what that does? It keeps activity going because of the fact that by the time that season's over, what's going to happen? Here comes training camp. And we're right back
to training camp.
Patrick, since all the games are going to be at UAB, right? And I see the Dragons quarterback at the local 7-Eleven because that's all his per diem can pay him. If I break him off twenty to throw a pick six.
And all the crab legs you can eat.
That's Jameis Winston.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. It don't take much. How much do you think it will cost to corrupt a USFL official?
Oh my! It's already on the tape.
Mike, what's the old saying?
That's exactly right. Come on, there's so many revenue streams. There are so many revenue streams that exist now.
Yes, Lord.
That anybody, all of us on this thread, we could put together $100 each and start a little syndicate and start taking bets.
Is it all right if I let Jimmy the Finger and his wife Lady Fingers in on this as well?
Oh yeah, come on, T-Mac.
All I want is the skim.
Just a little taste, man.
Break me off some of the skim.
You want the juice. That's what they call it.
That's exactly right.
And don't think that the gambling bug won't get you if you don't watch out. There's going to be a lot more gambling this season. I'm talking about all the leagues now. You've got a steady pattern. Even baseball is trying to convince you to bet baseball games. Now, I've never bet it. I've never seen how it can be bet. And it's like, you got to be kidding. Meanwhile, up in Canada,
baseball is a tricky one, boy.
Baseball's a tricky one.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
You know why? And with Mike, which is one of the reasons, guys, I don't cover baseball anymore. Because the numbers have gone through the freaking roof to cover just one game. That's why I don't cover anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Aaron Judge to come up. I watched a little bit of what the Yankees opened up against. Remind me, I forgot. The Red Sox, right?
Yeah.
And, Judge is, backed out of his contract, this, that, and the other. So he comes up.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, right? And he comes up, and you can tell already, this guy's not going to deliver just by his body language. I'm like, he's not going to deliver down the street. This is not a built like Jeter and Posada guy. He's one of these modern nouveau creation things that has a complete season of injuries. Now the face of the Yankees, but that ain't Reggie hitting, sitting in that batter's box. You know what I mean?
Oscar Gamble reference.
Now that's rich.
They don't have the same motivation.
Where's Claudel Washington when you need him?
That's right.
How about that?
I say, Mike, let me throw one thing at you. These so-called Yankee fans are booing him because he didn't take the 235.
What a surprise.
Keep it, former Dodger, Corey Singer at the Texas Rangers, he got 325. If he got 325 and Aaron Judge in New York, three-time All-Star, facing the team, and you're going to give him 230, I ain't signing either.
I guess they're a little hesitant the way John Carlos ripping them off. Dang.
The last
time I seen that kind of rip off was watching this year's versions of the Lakers.
And the Yankees will probably be a tad bit more entertaining than those Lakers too, as well.
The Lakers stole some loot there. I've never seen so many people happy sub .500 and not going to the playoffs in street clothes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, indeed. Yes, tax write-offs left and right.
I mean, they were having a blast with them fat-pocketed paychecks. The Bus family got a dole out, and they're not getting 1 minute out of them contracts on the floor.
Well, Eric, you know better that way, being out that way. I didn't know to the extent, and I had a guy give Stephen A. credit for this, that Kurt Rimmer's wife was involved in this. I didn't know that. What basketball did she know besides watching him play? I didn't know.
Hey, listen, she rides shotgun with Jeannie Buss. That's all it takes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she rides shotgun with Jeannie Buss.
She's the woman.
You know, and,
Patrick, she's the woman sitting next to the woman, sitting next to the woman, sitting next to the woman.
And going in on meetings with team players. What's she doing there? What game she play? Is she on the lamp line? Man,
no.
Good God, no wonder he lose.
Hey, man, when you sit on that tier and you're playing chess out there and there's no one to check you, you know, that's what happens, man. But man, but on the floor version, they just decided to shut it down and they just ripped them off this year. My goodness, I mean, that was just. I mean, I ain't never seen that much money stolen.
Since Matthew Stafford left Detroit,
there you go. I thought Steve Nash ripped them off when he showed up for 2 years. They never played 10 games.
Gentlemen, before we get the final thoughts, I need to go back to where we started. Now, players have been exposed to what this asshole Adam Schefter and, to a lesser degree, Bill Blair really are. They've shown who they are. And to quote my Ash Lewis statement earlier, when somebody shows you who they are, believe it. So now,
right.
Will the players understand that they have power in their hands and not talk to these motherfuckers?
Goodness.
And tell them straight up, get the fuck out, you're bogus. We don't have time for your funky ass. No more.
Well, Mike, it's already happened. It's already happened, Mike. I talked about it before.
What happened?
Brothers are putting their own podcast together, TV shows, own media outlets, own media interpretations.
Right.
Believe me, it's getting. I did a press conference today. I did the St. Peter's University. Since he left, they got a brother, Brescia Mason, good coach.
From Wagner, right?
Yeah, he's now back in Jersey City, and he
played for Hurley, right?
He played for Danny, yes, he did.
Okay,
and played and coached with Danny at UConn, and did some at Wagner, then now did some writer, then Wagner.
Hope he has better results.
But that's the good thing because we see actual players doing their own thing, players magazine outlet, these forums, these guys doing themselves, because like you said before, the way boys ask the same Boosie has questions. You get the same answers and the same responses. They can tell their own story. We can tell our own story.
And Patrick, much like how Yosemite Sam talks about New England boiled coconut, they can't stand that.
They can't stand that shit.
Yep.
You're 100% right, because you know when you get a cat like Kyrie Irving, right, who's like just stood up on his own manhood about what's good for his body and what's not, still can ball out, still does his thing, and still representing himself in a dignified manner, that's refreshing to see. I mean, I support the brother in all his aspects and what he did. He didn't cave into that bullshit, and they had to pay him, so they couldn't cut his loop. And they had to break him off. And he didn't rip him off like the Lakers did, who were willingly saying, fuck Genie and everybody. Let's get paid, y'all. Do commercials, make movies, do some other shit, you know, here in Los Angeles. Let's max out these opportunities, but play like shit on the floor. He showed up.
Well, that's right. To quote my country cousin, the professor, we need to tell our own stories. And if the players are taking it upon themselves to be more single-minded,
more.
Making sure that the story gets told accurately, and we now have to take the time to say, you know, to the Haskins family, you know, our sincerest condolences, and that your son deserved better than what these motherfuckers tried to do. Having said that, you get the final thoughts, and Reggie, please start it off.
First of all, gentlemen, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the young ladies who were honored, and I'm so happy with the space program, and of course they named the building after them. And I'll say again, it's amazing that these movies are made, but when Black History Month comes in, we have selective amnesia, which brings the Earl Lord, state of Virginia, recently erected a statue in his honor, the first Black Indian player, Earl Lord. So we said peace and blessing to his memory. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. It's amazing that when The Rock was interviewed today about his new football league starting next year, when it came to, certain coach Reggie Barlow, he coached at Virginia State, didn't say anything about him being a Super Bowl champion from Tampa Bay, said nothing about him prior coaching at Alabama State. And, by the way, they couldn't wait glowingly about Wade Phillips' 40-year career of being a bum coach in the NFL. But, you know, hey, once again, they glorify who they want to. So I'm just saying, in closing, sometimes in life we see the young people out here shooting up. But yet when Mayor of Life, Marion Barry, made sure that every young person in D.C. had a job, he made sure that it was more millionaires made ever before during his tenure. And they call him a crackhead. Yeah, the real crackhead is us for not supporting entrepreneurship in the Black community. Just my thoughts.
Well said.
Reggie. Well said. Patrick.
Well said. Two guys that I think Tony likes. There's two guys he might know, Tim Anderson and Josh Harris. The new one of the crew of the Chicago White Sox to watch in baseball. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I saw parts of one game, but they're playing the game like they did in the old Negro League, having fun, you know, doing a little showtime. Yeah. And ironically, they're doing it with your boy Tony Russo, who don't like Flash, but them brothers don't care. But it leads me to last week, the opening up in Major League Baseball, where the amount of Black players from last year was 2.7 in the league. Actually, it was 2.2, down from 2.6 from last year. It was 2.6 last year. Now it's 2.2.
Is that a percentage or per player?
Percentage of the
entire.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you meant. Dang.
Yes.
Microscopic.
In the major league, and they wonder why our brothers ain't playing the game. Another story. But the other part of that, I got to give Tim Anderson a lot of credit, because he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's sponsoring leagues. He's sponsoring things where people seeing games to go out to Kansas City and check out the museum out that way. Matt, I got more out than that, something else I'm talking about time. And more importantly, he has this amateur elite league since 2007, where they got over 230, their kids with scholarships for young kids to play ball and for school. That's what I'm talking about, that you never seen paper, that you don't want, he don't want to hear about it as little as possible, but he's trying to promote the game. So hopefully things will work out well for that. And some brothers who maybe need to play baseball because they ain't got no jumper might help out.
Hey Reggie, they need a second baseman in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm
an Orioles fan. I ain't nothing to do with that. I'm an Orioles fan.
and Mike is also leading up to this Friday, Jackie Robinson's 75th. Recognition.
That's
second base. We're doing a nice little special on the station about something I did 10 years ago, and we're playing it again because it's relevant. But I want to do a major piece, but I didn't have time to do it this year, unfortunately, because Jackie Robinson played his first game here in Jersey City. Matter of fact, where I'm sitting now was part of the stadium, quite frankly.
There you go.
You know
there what?
I always wanted to do a movie about Jackie after they took that ban off him, after they told him after 2 years you can't fight back. I always wanted to see a movie where Jackie was going to be able to fight back the first year so they could say, yeah, all you cracking motherfuckers that was talking shit, you ain't going to do that shit now, are you? You ain't coming to spike time now. Jackie, whip your ass.
Yep.
But, you know, I digress.
Yep.
Professor, that's the other side of the story. And thank you, as always, for making sure that we don't forget to tell our stories. Professor, please.
Well, first of all, congratulations to the young lady from Jackson State who was drafted into the WNBA first time.
Yes, yes.
And she's fun, too. And the rest of that story is just for another time because that's bull crap. Having said that, also, two young ladies that I know from church, I've been working with them. One went to an HBCU, NC Central, and she came up on, shall we say, in a rough situation. Good family, but they were all still some pieces missing. And she would tell you, I took her under the wing. I kept her out of a fight because she was going to kick somebody behind. But again, we kind of connected. It was basically a spiritual connection because even to this day, I tried to get her to go to Winston-Salem State. She was almost ready to go, and then she decided to go to NC Central. And she had made a few snap-ons here and there. But at the same time, today she's very good at her job. But then she closed on her first house date because she got a real estate license. And she closed on her first house. Congratulations, Ella. And the other young lady, she and her husband just bought a new house last month. And again, mistakes don't define you, and mistakes don't stop you as long as you keep your head. You know, we had had some Sunday go to meeting conversations along the way, and several situations like that where you as the adult do all, older adult, you do all the talking. But it's what we had as HBCU students as well as graduates, and as one of my friends always said, damn, I'm 50 years old, he's still yanking me. Yeah. Because you need it. And it's part of what we, it's part of that fabric. And see, me, Reggie, Eric all went to HBCUs. And there were some professors we had who would see you in the street and ask you to recite Invictus or Time and a couple other poems that I still don't remember, of course, Dr. Pat deceased. But they always let you know that it wasn't just about getting you through school, it was getting you through life. And that's the kind of thing, because all too many PWI graduates that I know, when they start talking about, you start talking about school and connection, that kind of stuff, the first thing you hear is, the only thing I hear about them is they want me to get in some money. They got too much money as it is, so no. Well, that's not our situation. And finally, I filed papers yesterday for setting up the in getting things rolling for HBCU Heritage Center / Museum. That was filed yesterday. And first stage of that is on the way. We're going to move from there. And I'm waiting to get all that paperwork cleared before I finish the book on HBCU News Basketball, because it's going to be a big fundraiser, but at the same time, we ain't going to have no crap behind that either. You can reach me at www.blackheritagereview.com. We're also available on Facebook, and you can get books. It's never too late to have Black history on your table, on your desk, or in your head. There's too much story out there to be told, and we got to tell our own story.
Say Fred. Yep. Next week, I hope we can talk a little about your boy Aquil Glass. There's rumors about him that he might get a shot. He deserves a shot.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we were talking about baseball. I almost forgot this, but coming up in about a month is going, and I have some information on it, of course. For real next week, but the Black College World Series that we held in Montgomery, Alabama, which will pit primarily HBCUs from NAIA as well as Division II.
I like that.
We had a good tournament last year, and that's going to be even better this year.
And I hope that MLB put out not the interns, but send some scouts down there. I'll leave it at that. Let me shut up.
They're texting Kid Burns right now, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Eric,
yes, sir.
With it, brother.
Okay, yeah, I mean, always, you know, a really good dialogue with the brothers. You know, just keeping the tenor on what's taking place in the land of the Shield, the National Football League. So two other coaches have joined, Brian Flores' discrimination
yes.
suit.
Yes.
One is Steve Wilks
yep.
of the Arizona yeah. Cardinals. Steve Wilks is saying that he was a bridge coach.
Yes, he was.
He was used to bridge between him and a Caucasian underling to be followed later, and he really was not given the keys to the kingdom. He was just a sideline version of an NFL substitute teacher. And so he's joined that because, we know that Brian Flores is called the NFL. It's segregated and managed much like a plantation. That's the language in this lawsuit. We know that 70% of the NFL players are black, not 2.6 like MLB. We know there's a 0% ownership in the National Football League. And we know there's really no one participating there. So Wilkes says he was a bridge coach, did not have any chance to succeed. The other coach who's joined the operation is, his brother named Horton.
Ray Horton.
Was with the Ray Horton, exactly. He was with the Tennessee Titans head coaching job. And he said the only reason he got an interview was he just fit the Rooney bylaws. That's it. He had nothing to do. He was a black peg in a black peg socket that was not crossing the threshold of being a professional coach. So Pittsburgh, a very interesting environment there. Very interesting environment, very interesting dialogue here. You have the head coach, Mike Tomlin, who literally brought in a coach who was suing the league to be an assistant coach. And then we have the tragedy here recently, unfortunately, for the young brother and anyone, out there who are suffering loss. And they may not have an athletic child or daughter or whomever, the empathy goes out to you as well because, it's a tragic situation that takes place. But as Patrick said, extremely well, and what I was alluding to before the Gremlins bounced me out of the call, and maybe that was the right thing to do because I was heading in the direction, and that is something just ain't right.
Yeah, it ain't right. Thank you, brother.
And by the way, both coaches, Ray Horton and Steve Wilks, coached 1 year with the Browns after they got fired for the team.
And the fact that Steve Wilkes had to draft Josh Rosen, that right there should be investigated.
You ain't never lied about that. And didn't Rosen end up with Flores at one time in Miami?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. I know that. Holy shit. Gary, come on with it.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to try to knock the door on Major League Baseball. Please, throw away the unwritten rule book, please. You are ruining this game. I'm sorry, you can't keep doing this. The San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres yesterday.
Short Mania, but you know, look,
put it this way. At this point in time right now, baseball has tried itself so much to put that Tom Dempsey's foot looks better than their overall fan's point.
You know, I'm just shaking my head. Baseball is committing suicide. That's like committing suicide by jumping out a basement window. I mean, how fucking stupid can you get?
Yes, there you go.
That makes your game important, and you just trashed it. But I digress.
Mm.
It's just like everybody overmanaged. It's everybody overmanaged, and it's like, bro,
it's that
we're killing
y'all.
Bullcrap,
right?
Tony, can I ask you a question, Tony?
What's that?
Can I ask you a question, Tony, very quickly? Do you think?
Go ahead.
Do you think that,
I can't promise you I'll answer it, but I'll. Well, go ahead.
Tony, do you think that? Do you think because of the numbers at the betting line, they might have something to do with that? But I digress.
In my best Chris Rock voice, I can't say it, but I totally do understand.
Tony, keep the words out your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And if it's Mike Tyson, yo, we'll keep my wife's ear out of your mouth. I got it. I got it.
Well, no,
it's
a key in your ear.
Gentlemen, you know, as if broadcast news wasn't getting ale enough, I was presented with some more assholery early today because I found out that the so-called news program Morning Joe was going to go from 6 to 9 to 6 to 10. Now, this may not seem
not
surprised to you, but I remember this dickhead. He was sucking Donald Trump's dick and making all kinds of news when he started clowning out some of his competitors. And then more and more.
Michael, thank you for that visual. Now, I won't get to sleep until 4 in the morning.
But he did this all the way through. And as Trump started to become a Mussolini-like, Scarborough was picking up on it. Every time Trump was going to do something, he would put it out there. And now he's got an extra hour to be an even bigger asshole. You know, in terms of the news, we already know ain't no such thing. So to Scarborough, to MSNBC, and all these other assholes.
Is this Scarborough?
Yep.
Yeah. No.
He's still around?
He's around, but his career's been dead for years.
Okay. Where's Sue Simmons? It's Simmons time.
Yes.
Thank you,
Dave. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Kiss my entire
ass. I love it.
And Mike, when you really think about it, you realize the amount of kissing it would take to do that.
Exactly.
That's a job.
T-Mac, is that one of those deals where if they told everyone to haul ass, you'd have to make 20 trips?
I agree.
At least for the first wave. Well, let me put some extra.
Come on, Jared, give me my cigarette.
Hold on, man. Hold on. What?
Sorry about the inconvenience. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Kiss my entire ass.
Thank you, brother. Good night.